Here, Yona, how are you?
Thank
Hey,
you.
feel good, feel better, feel better. Everyone's getting sick. Sure, should get better quickly. I'm just looking for another. Oh, we have another time. You're here. If anyone wants, Jesse's house is rich with Tanya's. We want to look inside, and we're going to figure out how to keep this up. How should we keep this up? Let's see. A laptop. I thought that we were going to have little things like a whole thing. Hold on one second. Let's figure this out. Give me one second. We'll put a pass me a beer. That's going to be thank you. Ready? Not well, maybe not. That might work.
Looks perfect.
Wow, it worked. Okay, good.
Front end developers. It works. Yeah, pretty much. Well, not deep into like the more design pattern, but okay. We handle databases with like a lot of records, and we need to readily have a web page available to need records to be like that. So if we have a new page with data tables, like
But
a
give me another
button,
beer.
Yeah, and want another beer just to hold it up. Try.
It's a plugin we use for the front end. And we're able to quickly like build like a scalable front end, usable, modify like
Interesting. Very nice. Good. Well, so we have this
Yeah,
also.
we're terrible with you.
I am terrible with data. This is true.
Me too.
Okay, let's get back into it. We're ready? We're ready?
I'm always ready.
Yeah? How's the food? Good?
Really?
Not very fair.
Don't tell me why I'm excited.
I guess. Okay, let's figure out why we're all tzaddikim. Or maybe not, but maybe that's okay. You can use that one. I have this one also if you want. There's also an OG one. Okay, beauty. Okay, so really what we were focused on last week was an introduction to our soul. Introduction to our soul, something that maybe we could go through life not being aware that it's there. But we were introduced to our soul and told that every single Jew, no matter what, has what the Baal HaTanya calls a chelek Elokah mimal mamish. If you want to remember one line from Tanya, like just that. And everything else is built on this idea that we have a piece, a part of Hashem that was implanted inside of every single one of us. And that piece and part is constantly striving to come closer to Hashem. Now, why don't we just disappear into Hashem? Us, regular, normal people, we know this. We were told that we have this other soul, a Nefesh HaBahamis, and the other soul is the one that has all of our drives and passions. And maybe lusts and things that by nature we're drawn to, by human nature we're drawn to. And so we have these two souls. Those are our two souls, a Nefesh HaBahamis on one side and a Chelek Elokah Mimal Mamish on the other side, also called Nefesh Elokis. We talked last week in Perek Beis, this very big point that the Baal HaTanya was making was that this piece is connected to Hashem, like it goes back to the highest level of Hashem, if you could describe levels of Hashem or the process of Hashem coming into the world, creating the world. At the highest level of creation, at what level was it? Chachma, right? At the highest level of creation, that's where these souls come from. That means that it was like the most original thought of Hashem before he worked it out, all the details. Before he started creating and started speaking things into existence, there was something really deep about the connection of Yid's soul and Hashem. Okay, that we talked about last week. We said it's we used a mushal like a toenail, that a toenail, as much as come in.
What is it?
Honey, I'm home. So as much we talked about a toenail, shalom, shalom. I saw you at school today. What's your name?
Nadav.
Ben?
Ben-Naim.
Wow. Nadav.
Oh, you were driving.
I was, yeah, it was just like flying past, pushing a kid out the window, you know, get them into school. Yeah. Did you just move here?
Yeah, with my family. They bought a house like 6 months ago, like right next to the Roundup.
Okay, very nice. So now you're here.
Welcome.
Yaakov. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
you. Okay, so we're just summarizing what we learned previously, which was that every single yid has a piece or portion of a soul that comes directly from the highest level of Hashem. That we talked about last week. We have to finish off the parak because he's going to raise a point. And he doesn't focus so much on it, but he raises the point. So it's worthwhile to talk about. And let's see if we could understand how he explains the answer. He says that, of course, we all have this soul. Yeah? Nefesh Elokis? We all have this soul. And of course, no matter what, it's always connected to Hashem. It's always connected to God. Okay. But he says, so we all get this soul, and we talked about big souls and little souls and the differences between them and the possibility that there is a difference between certain levels of souls at their in their natural state, like where they start from, BZ, like, right? Like we were talking about after Shir. It's like you're given like it's more inclined to holiness. And then you could have a soul that's definitely inclined to holiness, but maybe less inclined, right? Doesn't mean that within it there's anything pushing it away from holiness, but it's less drawn, right? Less powerful. We talked about that. And we talked about connecting to big, powerful souls through learning their Torah, through just existing around them, through seeing them. We can actually, our souls can actually be nurtured by the bigger souls, just like our toenails get their life from our brain, right? Even though this is like a lot of life, and toenail is like a little bit of life, but it can get its life from it. So we'll finish off the parak.
So basically, we're pet.
He didn't talk anything about the growth of that soul. He's talking about its natural state, which is actually important for what we're about to discuss. Its natural state, there's big and small. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to let you, the human, are you going to let your soul express itself or not? Right. That we're going to talk about later in later chapters about the battle that goes on between these two souls. But we're not there yet. Right now we're on the parts list. We're still in the box at the top of the IKEA instructions, just telling us what parts we're dealing with, right? These are the parts that you should have in the box. Okay, so he says at the end of Perek 2, U'mashakasa bezor bezor chadash. There is a statement in the Zohar which talks about sha'ikr taloi shi'akadesh atzmo b'shas tashmish dafka. That there is a concept that the soul of a person is connected or is affected somehow by his parents' intentions at the moment of conception, right? And if his parents had holy intentions, then his soul is, we don't know what, better. Sounds like from the Zohar. Masha'en kein b'nei amei aretz, but people that are not so careful about that moment of conception where they're not doing it to bring more holiness into the world, maybe the soul would be on a lower level. So he says, I just got finished telling you that everyone has this soul and that everyone's soul is directly connected to Hashem. So what does the Zohar mean that there's a difference in the moment, in the intentions of the parents at the moment that they're conceiving a child? What does that mean, right? Because it can't mean that you, if they do the right thing and they're doing it for the right reasons and they're doing it for holiness, then you get a soul. Otherwise, you don't get a soul. That flies in the face of everything we've been learning. Everyone has this soul. Yeah? You hear the question?
Is it a matter of level of the soul that they get?
So he's that's not his answer. I hear what you're saying, and it's a proposed answer. It could be a proposed answer. For some reason, he's not comfortable saying that has to do with, I think that's God determined, the level of the soul. Like, has nothing. So the level of the soul can't have to do with the makshava of the parents, the thought of the parents. So then, what is it that's affected by the thought of the parents? Is his question. It's not whether you get a soul or not. It's not. So what is? How could you have it tainted? No, this is a chelak elokam imal mamish. That's included in this question. Is that you can't mess. You could only throw dirt on it, but this kid didn't do anything. So his soul is getting messed up.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe what you're saying is his answer. Hainu, he says, let's explain it. Is mishum she'ein lacha nefesh ruach u'neshama, she'ein la levush mi nefesh da'atzmos aviv v'imo. He says that every soul has the ability to express itself. That's called a levush. Levush is what? Clothing. Levushim, clothing. So he says every soul is wrapped in clothing. The clothing is what that soul, how that soul expresses itself. And he says, v'chol ha-mitzvah sha'osa ha-kol al-yidei osa al-levush. And all the mitzvahs that the soul is able to accomplish is through that clothing. V'afilu ha-shafa shenosno min ha-shamayim ha-kol al-yidei levush zeh. And depending on your levush, depending on how your soul is expressing itself, that's how Hashem interacts with that soul. So his answer is, v'im yekadesh es'atzmo, if the parents have the right intentions, so then you know what happens? Yamshich levush kodesh l'nishmas b'no. Something happens not to the actual soul, that's untouchable. That's God determined. But something happens to the clothing of the soul. Maybe he's saying what you're saying, Naftali, that the parents can put certain clothing on the child, like we talk about nurture, right? So you have your, maybe it's nature is you have a soul. The nurture is that certain things can get put as clothing on that soul. How that affects, he doesn't totally articulate. Something to think about. I don't want to get too far into it, but it's something about the soul coming into the world in a tainted way. It's not then set up for success to be able to fully be a soul, like to fully connect to Hashem. Now, maybe it could break through that. Maybe it could clean that off. He doesn't talk about it, right? What exactly that is. I don't want to get bogged down. I don't fully understand what that thing is. Right? I don't fully understand how this works. Maybe we have to ask Rabbi Cutler. Ba'afilu hi neshama gedola tzricha l'kiddush aviv. He says, even a big soul needs the parents to have the right intentions in order to be able to come in and then express itself. Aval v'haneshama atzma, but this is the important line. The soul itself, hine lepamim nishmas adam gavol en kates balios benosh adam nivzeh shafel. He says, we know that you could have an incredibly big soul come into the world, and it could be the product of two parents who are actually acting quite low, right? That we don't see that direct connection. Why is that true? Is because that's God determined is the level of the soul.
Well, also, if you want to say that these levushim come into play,
uh-huh,
obviously there's a workaround because you had tremendous gedolim, right? Whose parents were not even from, had no shaykhus to any of this stuff.
Let's say simple people, right?
Right. So obviously it may be true,
right?
But it doesn't mean you can't change any of that.
Okay, good. It also doesn't mean that Hashem can't decide to get a big neshama in there, even though it's not the perfect situation for the neshama. And the neshama might have to battle with that fact that it has these dirty clothing attached to it, or it's wearing these clothing that are not, right? We got to change his clothes. That's life, right? That's how life works. Okay, this is how he ends the parak. It's really, he's making a side point, asking a side question. I don't want to get bogged down because Paragimel's huge. Paragimel's huge and it's foundational. Let's jump in. Paragimel. Vihine. Behold. Let's understand. Let's break this soul. Now we got the piece of the soul. Yeah, we got it. The neshama, nefesh elokis. Now let's break it down into its most basic parts. Kol bechino umadrega misholosh elam, nefesh ruchu neshama. All of the different parts of our soul, which we know are, we call them the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama, right? There's different parts of our soul. What are these parts made up of? So let's zoom out for a second. We have our big piece called the soul. Now let's see how it itself is, what it's made of, and it'll indicate to us by figuring out what it's made of will help us understand how it functions in the world, right? I don't see my soul. You see your soul? I don't see my soul,
No. Right?
It's hidden. It's hiding. So it's really important. I think the Baal Tanya is making a big point of this. It's very important to understand how your soul processes things. How does it function? How does it think? How does it feel? How does it have emotions? Where are those? How does that work? So that's what we're going to talk about. He says, in fact, in the one soul that we have, it's kelula me'eser bechinos. It's actually made up of 10 parts. Kineged, eser spiros elyonos. And he says, where do I get the idea of there being 10 parts of something? He says, go to the spiros. What are the spiros? We mentioned it last week. Bees, you remember what word we were using for it last week? The spiros? Or a common way to talk about it, an easy way to understand levels. Let's talk about it like this.
Let's talk about it like this. You gave a few other words.
Yeah, let's imagine it like this. Hashem creates the world. Hashem is very great. Hashem's one, right? Hashem Echad, right? Hashem needs to, for whatever reason, he decided that he needs to create a world. In order to create the world, he needs to shine his light into the world and at times needs to shine that light in different ways. Different measuring cups, sort of, in baking this recipe called the world. Yeah? You got to use different measuring cups. Sometimes you use a teaspoon, sometimes you use a cup, half a cup. Really fancy people don't use measuring cups. They just pour and dash and do stuff like that. But in my world, if I ever thought of cooking, it would be with measuring cups. So Hashem has to cook the world. So what does he do? He needs measuring cups. Hashem, in order to shine his light, has to use different measuring cups to shine his light into the world. And those measuring cups, it comes out that from our perception, it looks like Hashem has, and we could describe it as, the way Kabbalah describes it, Hashem has different qualities. A good one that sticks in my head is that Hashem has a quality of chesed. Let's just be simple. A quality of giving. And he has a quality of givura, of restraint, which would be the opposite of giving, right? So Hashem has different qualities, right? At different times, Hashem interacts with the world different ways. Sometimes he's acting in a giving way. And sometimes he's acting in a restrained way, holding back his light, restricting his light. Right? It's all Hashem. It all comes back to one. There's one Hashem, but it's different ways that Hashem interacts with the world. That's what the spheros describe. Yeah? Hashem has 10 spheros. 10 spheros. It starts from the top in the intellectual capabilities of Hashem. And I know it sounds so funny that we're describing Hashem with human. Does it bother anyone? Putting human qualities, human character traits onto Hashem, right? So like we explained, I think we said this last week, or maybe, I was sitting by a restaurant this week and I was talking to the waiter and he was asking about Rabbi Manis Friedman. And he said, I don't understand what he means. Whatever, Rabbi Manis Friedman has a thing, it's out there on the internet, it's genius, it's amazing. But what came out from the conversation was that we have to understand that every time we put a human quality on Hashem, what we're describing is from our perspective, Hashem wants to see it this way. From Hashem's perspective, it's just unity and light and oneness and the light's just shining into the world, right? From our perspective, we could put words so that the Torah was written so that humans can get something from it, right? So everything that we know in Torah and in Kabbalah and in Chazal and in the Medrash is all there to describe your world, our world. So it used human qualities so that you can relate to what it is almost that we're describing about Hashem. Okay, so I'm not going to repeat every time I say a human quality on Hashem, kaviyachol, right? Kiviyachol, like they say, as if God has a intellectual capacity. Okay, we understand what we're talking about is from our perspective, it looks, it appears, it seems like Hashem's acting like he has these physical qualities. So there's, when you talk about Hashem shining into the world, you're talking about 10 qualities that Hashem shines into the world. Give me one second.
This is a really, really handy chart. In the back of every Breslov Research Institute, that's this publisher here, in the back of every English, basically English Breslov book, they have these charts that help to familiarize with these concepts. You've seen the Kabbalah chart, right? Everyone's familiar. Everyone's like, oh, you're the Kabbalah center now, right? No, this is the foundation of how the world runs right here on this one page. But you see it? Okay, that's what people call the Kabbalah chart.
Can you explain
chart.
To the people what is the chart or not?
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about now. That's what we're going to talk about now. I just wanted to, if anyone wants to look at it, it's here, and there's different ways of writing it out. But it's we're going to talk about it now. The Baal Tanya is going to talk about it. So he says Hashem has 10 parts. At the top of that system is the intellectual capacities, more of an internal process of Hashem thinking about the world. And then you get to the emotional qualities, what are called the emotional qualities. And the emotional qualities, or spheros, are then more external, more of an emanation of Hashem into the world. The words that we have to familiarize ourselves for this parak are like chachma, bina, da'at, right? Then you have chesed, gevura, tiferet, netzach, hod, yesod, and malchus. Okay, those are your 10. So he says, you can really split up these 10, and it'll be easier to understand. Hanachalekos l'shtayim. We could split these up into two categories. Shehein shalosh imos v'sheva kapulot, which will be the three top ones. Chachma, by the way, this chart, you see keter? Keter means crown. You see it's above everything else? It's almost in a different zone. Keser is like, we'll talk about it another time. Keser is like off the table in this discussion. Where our discussion starts is from Chachma, Bina, Da'at. Those are your top three. And then you have 7 underneath that. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. Okay? We're going to understand. We're going to break it down. This is the whole point of the Tanya. So let's break this down and understand. Pirish. Chachma, Bina, V'Da'at, V'Shivat, Yimei, HaBinyan. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes. Like we just explained. Chachma, Bina, Das. V'Kach, B'Nefesh, HaAdam, Shenechalekes, L'Shtayim, Seichel, Umidos. Now, until now, we haven't talked about humans yet. We're just talking about God and how he functions in the world, how he shines into the world, how he interacts with the world. He interacts with these two groups, Chachma, Bina, Das, the three at the top, and then the 7 that follow. Two groups. Says the Baal Tanya, we were created, B'Tselem Elokim, in the image of God. And you know what the Baal Tanya says, you know what B'Tselem Elokim means? In the image of God, it means God looks like this. Like what? Me? Like you, right? What does it mean in the image of God? It means that at our core, the way that we interact with the world is also through these 10 ways of interacting with things around us. So it's started with Hashem creating the world, but this pattern of 10 is going to be repeated in everything in creation. It's a big statement, but especially in humans. This power is going to be reflected in the human. That's what he says. That's what the Baal Tanya says, which means that when I think of the different qualities that I have, let's just go simple. Sometimes I'm giving and sometimes I act with restraint. Sometimes I'm more, I'm not even talking about tzedakah. I'm just talking about sometimes I feel like I want to give of myself to someone else. And sometimes I'm more closed. And I want to restrain myself. What that is that's your godly power, right? Your godly parts are acting, are interacting with the things around you. Okay, so let's see what he says. Ha-seichel kol al-chachma bina v'das. Seichel, the intellectual part of us. Now we're talking about humans. We were talking about God, but now let's break it down in humans. So we got it. There's 10 parts of God. There's 10 parts of the human psyche and how it interacts with the world.
So it's clear. Tzelem Elokim applies to all humans.
So you have the intellectual faculties, the ability to think. Typically, we would say that takes place in the brain. Yeah? There's three things in there. Chachma, Bina, Das. We're going to talk about what that is. Vehamidos. And then you have the emotive qualities of a person. It's like Avas Hashem, loving Hashem. And remember, we're talking about the godly soul. So all it wants to do is love Hashem, not pizza. Right? Its love is expressed in a love for Hashem. When you're part of Hashem experiences love, it's for holy things. It's for good things, right? As opposed to the other side, your Nefesh HaBahamis, your animal soul, could actually fall in love with a car, right? Or I don't want to say anything about pets, but they could express love. Let's stick to the dark side, right? Not the stuff in the middle. But it could fall in love with physical things. It could fall in love with the wrong person. It could express its love in many different ways. But right now we're sticking to the holy side. We're talking about the holy soul that we have. So on that side, on the holy soul, when we talk about the fact that it's able to love, what does it love? So you use it as an example, the love for Hashem, that it feels for Hashem. Upachado, and being fearful and in awe of Hashem. V'yirasso ulefaro, and to exalt, to praise Hashem. That's the soul expressing itself. Okay. B'chabad nikru imos. In Kabbalah, the top three qualities, chachma, bina, das, those are called the mothers. And they give birth to the midos. They give birth to your emotions. Ki amidos hein toldos chabad. There's a big statement here. You see he's using the word chabad, and now we're learning Sefer that's associated with Chabad Hasidim, that this is not where it comes from, but this is the reason why that group of Hasidim are called Chabad. You ever wondered? You know why? Chabad? It's a cool name, right? Why? Why are they called Chabad? Because the words Chachma, Bina, Da'at, the first three letters, the first letter of each one is Chabad. Chachma, Bina, Da'at. So we have to think, why would you start a group of Hasidim and tell them that the thing that's going to define them is Chachma, Bina, Das. We'll get there. But we have to first understand, what are you talking about? These qualities that the soul has. Says the Baal HaTanya, Ubior Ha'inyan. Let's understand this. What he's really getting at here, what he's coming to explain, is he just made a statement that your emotions, we're talking about the holy soul, the Nefesh Elokis. The emotions of that soul are born where? It feels love. Where does that start? It could feel love for God. Where does that start? So what's his point? His point is that love in the godly soul starts as a thought in, so to speak, the brain of the godly soul. In the thinking abilities of the godly soul, that's where that love starts. It starts in the brain. You can't just expect, I don't understand. I went to shul and I didn't feel anything, right? I did the whole Yom Kippur and my heart didn't feel anything. Said no one ever. Everyone's soul is awake on Yom Kippur, I would hope. But a person expects...
Even the Israeli that's asking me for a cigarette?
Person, everyone's soul is awake.
Even the Israeli that's asking
everyone's
for a
cigarette?
His soul is the most.
It's everyone's.
Even if the guy's asking for a cigarette in Israel?
I said, yeah. I'll tell you a story after. The Nefesh Elokis is different than the Nefesh HaBahamas. I'll explain it with a mushel. You ever went to a car dealer? You ever went into a haggle over the price of a car, or you saw something advertised, you wanted to go see what they have, and you walked the lot, And what is the one thing that they want you to do, right? Before they talk any numbers, before they talk any price or anything, what is the one thing that they want you to do? Test drive. I want you to test drive. Why do I want you to test drive? I want you to, even if you're not, you don't have time for a test drive, just sit in it. Yeah, turn it on. just sit in it. Just touch a little. Put your hand. Oh, you feel that leather. You feel the. You see all the buttons. Nice big screen. What are they trying to do?
Experience.
Give you an experience and give you a feeling, and create an emotional attachment and connection to that car, because they know that if they who are they talking to? They're talking to the animal soul, right? They're talking to your animal soul. And what do they want where do emotions in the animal soul start from? They start from not in your brain, right? You know, I thought about this car and everything about it makes so much sense. I love it. No, it doesn't work that way, right? I love this car. And then if you need to introduce a little bit of thought, you get like the one check you got to do is like, can I afford it? No. Let's do it anyways, right? What's in control? What's in control in the car buying process? What do they hope? What are they trying for? What's the sales guy trying for? Make sure that your emotions are forcing your brain to make decisions. That's the animal side of things. On the holy side of things, the way it works is that those feelings can only come out from first being processed through your thinking, through your mind, through your ability to reason. Those feelings of love, let's say, for Hashem, or awe for Hashem, there's nothing you can do that can make those feelings put those feelings into you and make them last if they haven't been processed by your brain. And that's really at the foundation of Chabad Hasidus, is that what they're driving at is to allow every decision that you make to be filtered first through your mind, and then allow your emotions to get connected to something. So if your mind, let's say clear mind, right? Clear mind, you're like, okay, that thing in front of me, I'm not allowed to eat it, right? I have high cholesterol. It's not healthy for me, right? If your mind is strong enough, it can stop your emotions, feelings, body from experiencing something, right? That's what Chabad philosophy is. And not to get sidetracked, but that's why the Hasidus is called Chabad, because what they're getting at is let every experience be filtered first through your mind and real decisions being made, as opposed to being pulled by drives and things that you want and things that you love and then making a decision about it later, right? That's the idea. So he's talking here about Chachma, Bina, Das. Now he's going to break it down. Ubir ha'inyan. Hinei ha-seichel sheben nefesh ha-maskeles, shuhu ha-maskil kol davar, nikra b'shem Chachma. The first thing at the top is called Chachma. Chachma is broken down into two words, koach, ma. What is koach? Strength or power. Ma. What? The power of what? Chachma means the power to be able to be curious, to open your mind to new ideas. That's Chachma. Chachma is at the top of anything happening, should be Chachma. Chachma. Let's use an example, and then he's going to continue talking about this, and we'll weave the example through. We'll use his example. God is one, right? God is one. Hashem Echad. It's a big idea. That's Chachma. It could go in so many different directions with that. It could have so many different interpretations. Do I really understand it? No. Just a statement. Hashem Echad. Chachma. Big ideas, right? Moment of inspiration when you say, oh my gosh, Hashem is one. Okay, it's still up there. It's at the top. Chachma. Let's call it, pretend it's at the top of your brain. Ukeshemotzi kocho el apoel. And then when you take that idea, Hashem is one, and you bring it out into the actuality, meaning at that top level, it's just potential. Wow, I could do so much with that idea. all the way up there. And now when you take that idea from potential a little bit further into thought, right? Shemisbonein besichlo lahavin davar la ashuro ula amko mitoch eza davar chachma hamuskal besichlo nikra bina. The next stage is called bina. What happens in bina? That's when you take that big idea and you start breaking it down into smaller digestible parts. Hashem is one. What does that mean? Can I ask, do I have any questions on that? If Hashem is one, then how does this work? Right? And you start examining the idea, breaking it down, pulling it apart, comparing it to other ideas that you know, let's say about Hashem, right? This holy thought that started up in Chachma now has transitioned into the Bina faculty of our brain. Yeah, taking that big idea and then cutting it into smaller parts that then I haven't done anything with it. It's still in my brain, but it's still being processed by my brain. And these things, Chachma and Bina, when you do that with a thought, Behein Heim Av Ve'em Hamolidos Avas Hashem V'Yiraso U'Pachado. This big thought that was so big, and then you broke down in Bina into smaller pieces to be able to digest it. It's like a mother in that it gives birth to the love and the awe and the fear of God. Right? You see those are like a million miles away. Hashem is one, and loving and fearing God is like, whoa, 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 chill out. Right? You don't jump straight from there to there. I need to process that big idea. Chachma, big idea. Bina, start processing the idea. And then what comes out of it, what it gives birth to, is, oh, now I can have actual feelings. I can actually be connected to that idea. You see the words he used? Ki aseichel shebenefesh hamaskeles. Because the rational, logical part of the brain of our soul, of the brain of our soul, he says, how are you going to develop a connection to Hashem? Your soul wants to connect to Hashem. Yeah? You can experience the development of that connection. He says, you know how to do it? He says, if you think deeply about this big idea, about Gedulas Hashem, about the greatness and grandness of God, and he says, now break it into smaller parts. Echu mimale kol almin, the fact that God fills up all worlds. Vistoviv kol almin, and he surrounds all worlds. Should be a contradiction. Is he in the world or is he around the world? You got to think about it, right? Now you got to really break it apart. Vikule kame kolo chashiv, and another thing that we know about God is that everything, when it's in front of God, is considered to be nothing, is nothingness. Right, God is so separate from the world, so on a different plane of reality, that everything he looks at the world and it just exists in his inside of Hashem. It's like nothing, right? Kulo kame kilo chashiv. It's like it's nothingness. When you really think about this, nolda v'nis ora midas yiras haromus b'mocho. You know what happens in your brain? All of a sudden, you start experiencing the thoughts of the fear of God's or the awe of God's greatness. Yiras haromus. That's you heard about Yirat Shamayim, right? What's Yirat Shamayim? What's Yiras Shamayim? What is it? Fear of God, right? What does that mean, the fear of God? So I could be fearful of God because he'll strike me down if I don't do the right thing, right? But that's really fear of sin. Like I'd be afraid of a bear if it came into my campsite, right? That's fear of something other than God. That's fear of maybe a system that's set up that we think that God's going to strike us down. What's fear of God in its highest form is the awe of, wow, Hashem is so great and grand.
And what's the difference between hidden fear and open fear?
I'm not sure. I want a relationship with him, right? That's the real fear that comes out from thinking up here, Chachma, Bina, Das, we didn't talk about Das, right? Oh, you say awe. Yeah, you could say awe.
Right.
Yeah. We used fear like I'm scared of a bear. Correct. Not fear like that. Fear like I'm afraid to lose a connection. It's so great. That's awe, right? Awe. I'm like blown away from this, right? Like that, like when you take your kid to a football game the first time and they walk through the tunnel out to the seats, and like all of a sudden there's like the most people that they've ever seen, and they're all drunk and they're all yelling, right? It's like that feeling is like, whoa. And that whoa starts rumbling around your brain. Yiras haroma mos bemocho, in your brain, umachshavto, and in your thoughts. Lira, to be in awe, ulehis boshesh, and to be almost embarrassed in front of it. It's like, whoa, I could see, like, wow, compared to that, what am I, right? From God's greatness, she'ein la sof v'tachlis, that has no end, that has no beginning. This God's greatness goes on and on. Upachad Hashem belibo, and then this awe of God starts being transferred from thoughts to your actual heart, and now it's in there. V'shuv yislahev libo, and when you're so in awe of something, you would never want to break a connection with that thing. And because of that feeling, what comes next, what's born out of that is, I don't want to break a connection with it, because then I now develop feelings of actual fire in my heart, the ahava azza, with strong love. Kirish be'esh b'chasheka v'chafetzo tshuka b'nefesh shokeka l'gdulas ein sof baruch hu. He says you can get to a level where just all you did was think deeply about how big Hashem is, how grand Hashem is. And just from thinking deeply about it, it created an emotion of awe and an emotion of love. It created a feeling of, I would never want to pull away from this being. I would never want to do anything that pulls me away from this being. Not only would I never want to pull away from this being, but he's so great and grand and awesome that I want to come closer to him. And now I'm on fire with the love of Hashem to want to come closer to Hashem. Yeah? What's he describing? Chachma, bina, the thinking of something, and giving birth to chesed, gevura, tiferes, and so on and so forth, as he'll say. So on and so forth, because all the qualities at the bottom, we're clear about what they are, from chesed, gevura, tiferes, netzach, hod, yesod, malchus. All of those qualities are a reflection of emotions that we can have and feelings that we can have. But really, you can just talk about them as two, chesed and gevura, love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, right? A feeling that I want to come really close to Hashem, and a feeling that I wouldn't want to separate from Hashem, right? Love and fear. Let's see what he says. Vihi, and this experience of wanting to be close to Hashem is kolos hanefesh. That's like a feeling of, I give up my whole soul. We know that song, Sama Nafshi Lelokim, right? What does that mean? Sama. Thirsty. Wow, I'm thirsty for God. I want to get close to him, right? And that feeling can come. My soul is so thirsty for you, Hashem. But Simon Humi Yasoda Aisha Benefesh Elokis, Ukmash Kasava Tivim, Yasoda Aish Hubalev, Umukar Hamayim, Valechos Neamok, Mash Kasav, Beit Chayim, Shivikinas Chachos, Shikasmai, Shavukas, Chamidos, Kulan Hain, Anfea Yer, you have to look in the English. He's going into the physical things in this world that represent this. It's not our inyan for tonight. I think we should. Where are we holding? Yeah, let's finish this parak. Okay, so far we talked about, let's recap. So far we talked about chachma, big thought. Koach ma, the power of what? It's like this unlimited potential, this thought that we have, right? Think about any thought. Don't only think about Hashem. Think about any thought you have. You have this great idea pops into your imagination. Right? That's, hello. It's like very normal. So, oh, hi, monkey. You have this great idea. Yes, he's over there. Come sit. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's awesome. L'chaim. What a neshama. You have this big idea pops into your head. Excuse me. Chachma. you break it down smaller pieces. You start asking questions. You really start digesting it. Bina. And then it gives birth. Those are the mother. And they give birth to feelings and emotions and connection and desire to be connected, desires. It gives birth to that. This is a pattern that you will find in everything. It's incredible. In everything, you'll find this pattern. You find it at work sometimes. Someone has like this like big idea at a meeting, right? You're sitting around. Someone presents a big idea. Okay, right now it's like, well, I don't even know what to do with that, right? Someone jots down a note. Afterwards, they come over and they start asking questions. The guy who does like the process, right? He starts asking questions. How does this work? Who's doing it? Who in the office is taking care of it? How are we going to accomplish this big idea? You start breaking it down into smaller pieces. And then you get to work. That's the next step. And that's what it gives birth to, is that getting to work, right? Oh, another muscle that they use is like, we do the same thing when we eat. The same pattern actually shows up when we eat. If you think about it, you bite from the food, but at that point, it's too big to just swallow. So right there, it's chachma. It's like if you're not thinking about anything, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a muscle to understand how the process works. Right then, even you have food on your plate, it's too big, right? You can't just scarf it down. You got to bite it into smaller pieces. And then you chew it. Chewing it is breaking it down in order to be able to swallow it. That's bina. We even use this expression when we talk about someone says something to you, an idea, and you say, I have to chew on it, I have to chew it over, right? It means I have to break it down into smaller pieces to really think about it. And then what do? We swallow and we start the digestive process. That's now becoming a part of us. Okay, we'll talk about now. He's going to talk about the one thing that he left out of this process. The one thing you left out of this process, and look on the chart, it's important to see it. If you cut it here, let's say this one is behind my hand. So above my hand, you have chachma and bina. That's the way we think. And below, you have chesed, gevura, and all the emotion, right? The emotional qualities that we're able to do. Sorry, guys. But what's transferring the power of these to get it to here? These guys have to flow to dot. They have to flow to das. And that's what he's going to talk about now, is what role does das, right? Dot. What role does that play? Chachma, bina, dot. What's dot? What's that third level? So he says, vidas, vahadas, humi lashon. What's the earliest use of the word dot in the Torah? Because a lot of times, what Tzadok says, a lot of times, all the time. If you want to know what a word really means, go to the first time it was brought into the world in the Torah. So what's the first das in the Torah? Veha Adam yada eschava. Adam knew Eve, like we say when you're in like sixth grade, right? He knew her all, like in the biblical sense, right? That's exactly what he's saying. Adam knew Eve. What does that mean that he knew her? So obviously they were together, right? They were, Cain and Hevel had to come from somewhere, right? What is it? It uses the word for das. What does that tell me about das? That das is about connection. Das is about connection. Ha'adam yada eschava. Adam knew Eve. The hu lashon, the word is used in the Torah to describe his kashrus the his chabrus. It's used to describe a connection to something. So there was Adam was becoming connected to Eve. In what we're talking about, das is the thing. Shemikasher daito bekesher amitz v'chazak ma'od v'yitaka machshavaso b'chozek v'gdulas ein sof baruchu v'einu mesiach daito. He says, what das is the ability of a person to deeply connect to an idea. To deeply connect to an idea. So go back to our mashal. You have this big idea of God, and then you broke it down into smaller pieces and thought about how God surrounds the world and fills the world, and nothing's anything in front of God or compared to God. Everything's nothingness compared to God. You thought about this idea. You broke it down. You started asking questions. You started chewing on it. But now you need to make it part of your body. That's the digestive processes. when the idea becomes a part of your body, becomes a part of who you are, right? You have people that talk a big game about the how connected they are to God, right? But it's unfortunate that sometimes it stays only in the head and it doesn't affect the actions of a person or the things that they're actually emotionally connected to, right? Blah, blah, blah. God is big. Oh, God. Oh, thank God. Thank God. But it's all up here. It's staying in Chachma and Bina. They've thought about it maybe. Maybe they thought about it a lot, right? But did it affect their actions? I was in an Uber last night. The guy was telling me, he happens to be another religion. Thus, it's not important. And he was just telling me that he sees people that are constantly talking about his religion, living his religion. They're not good people, right? So what's breaking down? What part of this chart is breaking down? So what the Baal HaTanya is telling us is that if the thoughts don't have an effect, they don't become a part of your who you are and what you think about and what you feel and what you go and do, the breakdown is in das. The breakdown is in making that thought into your part of your body. All takes place in das. It's actualizing it, but it's even more than actualizing it. Actualizing it is really the lower seven, because those are more your actions or your feelings, but it's connecting to that idea. It's before you even actualize it, it's like connect, being really internalizing, make it a part of you. That's das. That's das, right? So that's what he's saying here. He says, he goes back to our example of thinking about this grand idea of God. He says, when you really connect your mind to that, bechozek, begdulas ein sof baruch hu, when you strongly, with a lot of strength, connect yourself to this idea of the never-endingness of God, the ein sof of God, which like can blow your mind open, right? You become that emoji, literally, right? Ve'eino mistiach daito, and you don't move your mind from it. You don't stop thinking about it. Ki ach mishu chacham v'novim v'gdula sein sof baruch hu yineim lo yikasher daito v'yitaka machshavata v'chozek. Ubahasmada lo yolu benafsho yira v'ava amitis. Then if you don't really deeply connect to it and internalize it and make it a part of who you are, it's not going to have this effect that where it then becomes a part of how you feel. And where then it becomes a part of what you want to connect to, right? It's like the professor in college, they talk about, like, he gave, morality, human morality 101, right? This is the class that he talked about. But the guy's cheating on his wife and he's messing around and he's ripping off the college. He puts in fake expenses. I don't know what he does, right? He's the most immoral person that you met, right? So they asked him, I don't understand, you're teaching this, and you don't. He says, what I teach is not, it's not who I am. Who I am is a different thing. What's breaking down there is his das. He's not completely connected and digesting the things that he's actually presenting to the world, right? Yes.
He said become a math professor, isn't it?
I don't become a triangle. Thank you, Yossi. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'll tell you another one. The Baal HaTanya, the author of this book, this amazing book, the Baal HaTanya went to study by the Magid of Mezrich. That was the student of the Baal Shem. He left his home to go study by the Magid. When he came back, his father challenged him and said, "Nu, what did you learn over there already?" Right? It was challenging him. It was being a student of the Magid of Mezrich was not a popular thing in those days. It was a very small select group. He said, "Why did you have to go all the way there? What did you learn?" So he told him, "By the Magid, I learned that there is a creator of the world." His father looked at him like he's nuts. By the Magid, you learn that there is a creator of the world. He said to the cleaning person, he said, come in, right? The young Jewish girl, he says, come in. Okay. He says, let me ask you a question. Is there a creator of the world? She says, of course there's a creator of the world. So he turns to his son, the Baal HaTanya. And he says, we got to travel to leave your family, go travel to the Magid. And the big thing you came out with is there's a God in the world. And the Baal HaTanya told him, she says there's a God in the world. I know there's a God involved, right? There's a, it's like a thing could stay only as a thought bubble, right? It's just something that I think about, but does it affect who I am? And what the Baal Tanya's prescribing here is that if a person wants to develop that connection to Hashem, in the Baal Tanya's method and methodology that he's presenting, the person first needs to think deeply about who is this Hashem that they want to connect to, and why is he so great and awesome? And only after thinking deeply about that and asking the questions, the hard questions, because we know there's terrible things that happen, and we're talking about this great Hashem, and I have kashas on that. And only after asking those questions and really thinking about it from many different angles about the goodness of Hashem and about how Hashem interacts with the world and really thinking about it, does that then have the ability to then, with Das, be connected to that idea, to then get into our kishkas, to get to become part of who we are, right? Just like you can't get the nutrients from the food without it going through the digestive system. So too, Das is that connector between the ideas and the things we think about and it having an effect on who we are. Yeah, that's what Perek Gimel, that's his idea that he's presenting in Perek Gimel. He says, if a person doesn't have Das, he's not going to have true love and fear. One more line. Ki im dimyonos shav. All he's going to have is, you know, false ideas rolling around his head, but it's not having any effect on him. Baal Kain Hadas, who kium hamidos vichiyusan, who kola chesed gvura pirish ava vanteha viyira vanteha. And he says that's why Das is super important, to work on our Das. I think an active way of working on it is like when you hear something, ask the questions that need to be asked, and allow it to then be digested and become a part of you. You know what I've noticed? A lot of times I'll see something that's inspiring or that I connect to, a little piece of Torah, right? We see it all day long. It's like, we have a WhatsApp status, it's on Instagram, hopefully we're following the right things, right? You see, it flashes in front of our eyes. But what I'm struggling with is that a lot of times my first reaction is, oh, I got to forward it, right? What did I just miss? So I forward it, I share it, wonderful, mazel tov. I think this is meaningful for you. Okay, but what did I miss? I missed making it a part of me. I missed the das. I never dased it. I chachmed it, saw the idea. I binad it. I thought about it for a minute. I ran it through my truth detector. I'm like, that's true. What about this? It all takes like a split second. You're like, okay, that's a true, and that's actually nice and a nice idea, and it's inspiring or it's uplifting. Very nice. Did I make it a part of me? Right? No, because I just forward and then go on to the next.
So if you forward and you go on to the next thing,
you've done something amazing. You've done something amazing.
Because I do that all day long.
It's beautiful.
I love to do that. And I know that 200 people watch that. But
we're beautiful. Beautiful. But if
is it that bad, or is it what is your core? If your core is not that music or that WhatsApp stat, you're not sitting in Lakewood. You're sitting in Texas and there's a chill. But some guy in Lakewood will never know about it if you don't post it.
Yeah.
He watches your status.
Yeah.
Let's just say you're in Honolulu.
Yeah.
Someone watches your status.
Yeah.
For anyone else at this table, YouTube or status or TikTok or wherever you post it.
So I'll tell you, I think you've done something great for the world. You've brought more light into the world. But don't forget about also bringing more light within yourself. And that takes place in Das. To take the idea and internalize it, make it a part of you, right? You go to a shir and you hear a great speaker and you're like, you're engaged and you love it and you're enjoyable and you're entertained and he has good stories and good jokes and he's awesome. And then you walk out and nothing changed. What's the part? What do we have to recognize? The part that's probably missing is that das, to be able to translate your ability to think and reason up here into your emotions and your thoughts and your feelings down here.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
It could take, you know, time for you to fully understand, process it, and internalize it, and then act on it more. You know,
good. Don't forget that part. You're right. It could take time. Don't forget to go through that process. Give it the time. Give it the time that it needs, right?
Or at least the time to get started.
Yes. The kitzer, our souls are a reflection of Hashem's 10 qualities. And our souls, our holy soul, our godly soul, our nefesh elokis, functions in a way where its emotions could only be born if they start from the top. You can't just be emotionally connected to Hashem without truly thinking about it and working it through your brain. That's now we've broken down our zoomed out picture of godly soul. We have one of them in each person. Now we're breaking it down. It's broken down into 10 parts, and we have the beginnings of an understanding of how those function. With God's help, next week we will gather together and we will continue in the fourth chapter of Tanya. Ezra Sashem Yisparach. Chaim, what do you say? In Beyond Der Kecha, he says that Yira Shemayim is awareness of Hashem. Okay, good. Even better than awe. Talking about awareness of Hashem. Love it.
It's just less scary.
Right. It's not about being scared of the bear, right? It's about being completely aware that Hashem is there. I love
it. And then the awe comes, and then everything else comes, you know? And that's what tshuva is. He said tshuva is being aware of God, and that's all you need.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Yasher Koach.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead. Have a good night.
Bye.